This is Pillow Talk, brought to you by Killer and a Sweet Thing. I'm Eileen Kelly.
And I'm Jacob Safarian. On this podcast, we normalize sexual experiences by allowing the people who live them to speak for themselves.
On today's episode, we are joined by asexual activist Noreen. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
So for our audience, could you define asexuality?
Sure. Well, asexuality is an orientation where one does not experience sexual attraction to any gender, male or female. So instead of being heterosexual or homosexual, you don't experience attraction to anyone. That's the basic definition of asexuality. And of course, there's a lot of diversity within that group.
And is it any sort of spectrum of just being not very sexually attracted to somebody, or is it just a point flat out, like you're not attracted at all to anybody else sexually?
There is a spectrum. There are labels like gray asexual or demisexual, which means, people who identify as that may rarely experience asexual attraction to someone. Sometimes it's when there's an emotional connection developed first, but generally when they look at people in the world, they don't have that sexual attraction on an ongoing basis. For me personally, I identify as completely asexual, so I never experience sexual attraction. But there is a difference between sexual attraction and having sexual feelings, like experiencing arousal or a libido.
Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, some people still feel that. They can still feel that way, even though it's not a person that they're sexually attracted to. For me personally, I don't really experience any sexual feelings at all, but I do know that there are some asexuals who do.
For example, like maybe there are people who are asexual, but they masturbate.
Yeah, there are some. There are some because they can still experience that physical sexual feeling. It's just that they're not attracted to anyone. They would still have those sexual feelings. It's just they don't have that attraction to people. There's diversity in that group, and everybody might have like a different story. Speaking for me, as an asexual, I don't ever experience any sexual attraction to any gender, and I don't experience any sexual feelings either.
So when did you first notice that your sexuality was not like everyone else's?
I would say probably in my early teens.
Like going through puberty?
Yeah, going through puberty, because I think as a kid, I just always thought, you know, that stuff happens when you grow up. but then when you're 13, 14, you are growing up. And I was looking at all my peers and they were all, you know, experiencing these crushes and having hormonal rages and having like that curiosity and interest in sex. And I wasn't feeling it. So I think I realized around 14 that I wasn't straight or gay. And then I think around 15, I came across the term asexual online, and then I realized it described me, so that's when I started to use that label.
Where did you find the label online? Do you remember?
I don't remember what site it was.
But was it like someone's personal story, or you just saw the definition?
Yeah, I think I just saw, like, I think it was a site that was talking about the different orientations and the spectrums, and they mentioned asexuality, and I'm like, oh, that is me. They have a word for that, and yeah, that's when I started to use it.
Did you struggle at all emotionally with coming to terms with that, or was it like a light bulb, like, oh, that's what I feel or don't feel?
No, I didn't struggle with it. It was more like when I came across the word, it was just like, oh, that's a word I can use. Mm-hmm. Because I think I already knew how I felt. I just didn't have a word for it.
Were you comfortable with how you felt?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I didn't see anything. I didn't see any issue with it. And I grew up in Connecticut, and I, you know, came from a progressive town. So, you know, I always supported like the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think there's any shame in like who you are or like what you feel. So, yeah, I was definitely very comfortable with it.
Did you have a coming out of sorts with anyone? Like, when did you first tell somebody else?
I mean, I guess around that age, like, you know, your friends will ask you, like, who do you have a crush on and things like that. And I would just always say, you know, I'm not into boys, but I'm not lesbian either. And I think, like, my family and, like, some of my friends, they just thought I was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't meet the right person yet or something like that. But I always continuously identified as asexual moving forward. And, yeah, I would just kind of tell people if it came up.
Did you meet other asexual people around that age, since it seems like you kind of knew what you were right off the bat?
No, not at that age. No, I didn't meet asexuals until like early adulthood.
Was it ever hard to relate to your peers as they were going through these crushes and first sexual experiences?
Sometimes it was. I guess at that age, like a lot of teens don't have a lot of experience yet. Yeah. So there wasn't a lot. Like there's still so many things you can relate to at that age, I think. But yeah, I think like sometimes when your friends are having conversations about sex or romance, you know, I don't really have much to offer. Yeah. So yeah. It's a little awkward sometimes.
A little left out.
Yeah.
And is it interesting conceptually to you? Like when your friends talk about hooking up, but you're just like, I have no interest.
I think it depends on their story.
That's fair.
Sometimes
yeah.
there's an like interesting story. Yeah. Yeah.
But the actual sexual details are like...
Yeah, it's not the details that I really care for.
I'm interested to know if you... Do you ever watch porn? Have you ever watched porn?
I have never watched porn.
Wow. And do you mind saying how old you are? You don't have to.
I'm a young millennial.
Okay.
I don't want to give my exact age.
No, that's perfect. Okay.
It's catchy. I like
young,
that.
Young millennial. I'm just trying to put in that you've never watched porn and kind of, you know... Gauge that.
Well, I'm past 18. I'll say that much.
Yeah. So you said you grew up in a progressive town, but did you experience anybody trying to invalidate your identity? You know, the adage that comes to mind is, well, how do you know you don't like sex unless you've tried it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That exact question in those exact words.
And how did you respond to that?
It's really irritating because it's kind of like, you know, it's like telling a straight person, how do you know you're not interested in the same sex if you've never slept with somebody in the same sex, or, you know, vice versa? Because I don't think, I mean, like, how would that happen? Like, who would you, if you're not attracted to anyone, how can you try it with anyone? Who would you try it with? So it's not a... I don't know. I don't know why it's a question, really.
No, you made
but
a good
it's
point.
Always weird to me, yeah.
For sure, because why presume that you wouldn't know what you feel, you know?
Yeah, because it's not like trying a new food. It's way more complicated than that, so yeah.
Would you say your asexuality affects your desire for intimacy and companionship?
I don't know. I don't think it really interferes with that so much, because I do have close friends, so I don't think... It gets in the way of having intimacy and connection.
Do you ever have like romantic interests, just non-sexual ones?
No, I personally don't. They call that aromantic. If you don't experience any romantic attraction, I do know there are a lot of asexuals who do experience romantic attraction, and they might identify as heteroromantic or homoromantic or biromantic.
They just don't have any sexual feelings.
Yes, yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah.
So, when did you tell your parents?
Yeah, I think around that age, 14, 15.
And were they very accepting?
No, not really. I think at that age, they thought I was just young.
Like you said, a late bloomer.
Yeah, a late bloomer.
Like she'll come around, she'll meet someone.
Yeah, they don't really believe that it exists, that people can feel that way, unless they have like a medical issue, which I don't, but...
And even to this day, they don't believe that you are an ace?
They still have a hard time wrapping their heads around it. They're pretty old school, so a lot of this stuff is very new to them, and it just goes over their heads.
Can I piggyback? I just want to piggyback off that porn question. You never had any interest seeking it out. It never like popped up. Just, I'm only saying this because the average age in the United States to be exposed to porn is like 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't been exposed to it. I haven't seen it ever.
So when you say you're aromantic, does that mean you have no interest in finding a life partner?
Definitely not a romantic partner. In terms of other types of life partners, I do want to have kids someday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I would, you know, do the single route or find a co-parent. That is a kind of a partnership, mm-hmm. If we're raising kids together. But I don't think it would be a romantic relationship, and certainly not a sexual one.
And
so would you go the adoption route, probably? Or what? Have you thought about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a lot of options today for women. So I'm kind of at this. I mean, I'm not ready yet. I still feel too young.
Yeah.
So maybe several years down the road, when I'm ready to become a parent, I probably will explore, you know, those options.
Mm-hmm. How do you express intimacy in non-physical ways?
I think just the way a lot of people do with their platonic friendships,
mm-hmm.
You know, hugging yeah. and, you know, things that you would do with your family and close friends. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those still give you the, you know, emotional satisfaction as they do everyone else, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say, like, are the most common misconceptions people have?
I feel like there's so many.
We can tackle a few here and talk through them.
Yeah. I mean, I think like what I've mentioned earlier that, you know, it doesn't exist or that you can't feel that way or it's like, you know, you can only be that way if there's like a problem mm-hmm. or there's a psychological problem or you have a fear of intimacy or you're just repressed. So, yeah, I've heard all of those things before. And I think like even among people who do accept that it's a real orientation, there is a confusion between that and your gender expression sometimes. Like, for example, I'm uber feminine. I wear pink a lot. I like makeup and clothes. And I think people find that surprising. They think if you are asexual, why would you care about how you look? Why would you care about your appearance? Like, mm-hmm. why are you trying to be attractive is the thing. And I think if you are somebody who do dress in what's conventionally attractive, they think you're giving that vibe that you're a sexual person
mm-hmm.
on some level. So I think people have a hard time accepting people that are like that, accept them as asexual people, that it's real for them. So yeah, I think that's another common misconception that I've encountered.
So when you dress up or you put on makeup, you're doing it for yourself always.
Yeah.
When you see someone who, say a celebrity who's like, basically decided, like, they're hot, you know, they're objectively attractive. Mm. Obviously, you can observe that. Could you, like, how does that, obviously, I know you don't know how the alternative feels because you've only been one way your whole life, but do you experience a sort of magnetism to people who are, like, very conventionally attractive?
I mean, I definitely find people attractive,
mm-hmm.
Aesthetically at least. Yeah, I mean, I can say that person's hot or, you know, but it's not like, I'm sexually attracted to them.
If you're walking down the street, you're at the library, or the coffee shop, and you get hit on, I'm sure it's happened. Does it make you really uncomfortable, or how do you deal with that?
It's a little awkward.
Do you say, like, I'm just not into this at all, in any sense of the word?
Not always if it's a random stranger that I'm probably not going to see in the future, because sometimes when you bring it up, it turns into a whole discussion.
Yeah,
it is easy to just say you have a boyfriend or whatever, anything to get out of it really quickly. Yeah.
Something we came across online was that there were ace dating sites
mm-hmm.
and dating sites for people who identified as asexual. Is that common within the community that, you know, people who identify as an ace seek out other aces as partners?
Yeah, I think definitely among aces who do experience romantic attraction. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And has finding a community with other aces been important to you in your life?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely nice to find people that you can relate to when it comes to this mm-hmm. part of my life. Yeah, I think it's great, especially since I do a lot of activism work. So it's nice to have a community to do that with.
Yeah, and when did you get started with your activism?
I mean, not too long ago. I guess, yeah, when I moved to New York and, you know, wanted to be more involved in increasing visibility because I knew about all the, you know, misconceptions and the misrepresentation in the media. I've heard of the community here that do that type of work. And so I pretty much joined that. And we do things like we march in the Pride Parade and
do you guys do talks? And
yeah, we have done panel events. And I actually organized one at the New School. And we also did a panel at NYU as well. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And something that came up in our research was, asexuality has its own flag, which immediately bears resemblance to me to like LGBTQ mm-hmm. identities. Do you see a connection between LGBTQ plus communities and asexuality?
In a lot of ways, yeah. I think so, because I think, you know, they both are marginalized communities. They are outside of the heteronormative, and, you know, I don't have equal representation in the media, and there's, like, you know, people that are giving off all these different ideas about it that don't really know what a lot of these identities are and what their stories can be. So I think, yeah, there is that similarity between the two communities.
And when the acronym is expanded, it's usually...
it includes it. Yeah. I'm wondering what you would like to see added to sex ed programs across the country. Because for me, like, I never really learned about... I had never learned about asexuality in, like, a classroom. It was all from my own research later on.
I mean, I definitely think sex ed in general needs to be revamped. But in terms of asexuality, I do think it is important to bring awareness to all of those identities and provide information that's valuable to all of the communities. You know, when it comes to talking about sex, there's, like, this idea of what's normal. I'm all for sex positivity, but I think if you push this idea that everybody has to fit under this umbrella or everybody has to feel this way, it puts a lot of pressure on a lot of young people. So I think it is important that we encourage kids to have control over their own decisions and their own bodies and, you know, not feel pressured one way or the other way. Because sometimes I think people go through those two extremes of, like, purely anti-sex or this is normal, you have to have it a lot all the time, or you have to feel this way. There's never, like,
an in-between where you decide for yourself.
This is a diverse community. So, you know, you have to speak to everybody, and everybody has different preferences. So,
and by celebrating, you know, one end of the pendulum, you shouldn't be invalidating the other.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a really strong takeaway.
You mentioned before fighting for visibility and media. So I'm a cisgendered queer man, and growing up, I know it was extremely damaging to me not seeing any sort of representation in film, in books, in the sex ed classes. Would you like to see more sort of ace stories portrayed across art and literature?
Definitely, yeah.
But accurately.
Yes, because there has been some, not all of it has been done really well, but yeah, I do think having more visibility of those stories and including those characters would be great. Even if it's not, the story isn't about that, but just having a character, yeah, I think that would be really great.
And reversely, does it affect your ability to, you know, because I know sometimes I see a lot of straight movies and I'm like, ugh, another straight love story. And maybe that's bad to admit, but sometimes I'm like, ugh, why should I be invested in this?
You know? Yeah.
Throw me a bone. Are there ever times where you just struggle to, like, get into whatever you're watching because it just is so far from your experience?
Yes and no. I think it really depends on the movie or the story. I don't mind watching romantic stories in film and TV. Sometimes I like that. Some of my favorite movies are romantic movies.
What are some of those? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, I'm just like trying to think of all of them. I'm a big fan. I always liked Titanic since I was a kid. I love a lot of romantic comedies, like The Proposal, like that kind of.
Like rom-com.
Yeah, Sandra Bullock type movies. or like just, you know, on TV shows.
Is it an empathy factor, you know?
Yeah, I think it's different things. I mean, for rom-coms, it's because it's funny. And sometimes, like, if it's done well, the stories, there might be certain aspects that are relatable, like whatever the conflict is, whatever the drama is. And also, like, sometimes the story is just moving. So, like, you can still connect to it on an emotional level, even if it's not directly relatable. I mean, I think the best analogy I can give for it is if somebody who isn't a parent or doesn't want to become a parent, they can still be moved by a mother-child story in the film. I'm not a parent yet and I can connect to that. Yeah, I think it's like that. Like, you know, like, not everybody has that relationship in their life, but they can, you know, they can still embrace it in the world.
Yeah, and also enjoy it in that moment.
Yeah, so I think for that. But I do think, like, when you watch so many movies and there's always has to be a romantic element to it, it can sometimes be a little annoying. Like, for example, if you've seen the movie I, Robot,
yes.
I like that the, you know, Will Smith's character did not get with the doctor, the person at the end. Like, I like that it was just a platonic friendship at the end. I don't think it's always necessary to have, and I think a lot of movies just always do that. They think it's necessary, even if it's not a romantic story, like a sci-fi film, like there has to be two characters that get together. I would like to just see friendships more in film, like films that embrace friendship stories, because I don't think we have enough of that, strangely. So
no, it seems like, yeah, Hollywood really thinks sex sells or something. Yes, I do.
Just slide that in there. See what just you did
kidding.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcasts about sex.
Socially, so are most of your, do any of your friends identify as asexual as well?
Well, yeah, because I do a lot of work in the community, so I've made friends through activist work. Yeah.
Do you feel like a lot of your friends in your personal life who aren't asexual, you've had to teach them a lot?
Some of them.
Questions?
Yeah, some of them. Some of them have questions, yeah.
And just like an organic process of like,
yeah,
almost just having a conversation like we're having right now with them.
Yeah, and I do think there is more, there is a little bit more visibility in the media today,
yeah,
than there was maybe, I don't know, 20 years ago. So, yeah, I think that helped.
Do your
helped.
Friends ever come to you for advice about their romantic relationships, or do they ever talk to you about their sex lives?
They do, some of them, yeah.
And do, yeah, you, I mean, do you feel like you can give them, like, good advice, or how do you decipher that within yourself?
Sometimes, because sometimes some of my advice is objective, yeah, I guess, yeah, in a way. So I think, yeah, there could be an element of needing that sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I'm curious, because as a perpetual single person myself, I sometimes get frustrated with my friends when they date somebody and then they don't have time for me, and, you know, they leave me on red and they don't want to go out drinking every night.
Don't leave Jake on red.
I know, I digress. But is it ever frustrating to you when some of your friends who aren't aces are so busy dating and are so consumed by this thing that is just of no interest to you, personally at least?
Maybe a little bit sometimes, but I, you know, I'm being, you know, a performer in New York and, you know, doing contract work. I'm also very busy too. So sometimes it's me that doesn't always have that time. But yeah, I mean, I think the only time it might annoy me is if someone's like so attached to their partner that their partner has to be involved in everything.
Ooh, that
we
me.
Do.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that I was about to say, I think that annoys anybody.
I know.
Even people who are in relationships.
Like,
so
yeah.
I don't know if my concerns or frustrations are any different than anybody else.
Has there ever been a moment where you wish you were sexual? Or had more interest in sex?
Not really. Maybe as a joke for like a moment, like, you know, as an actor, if I have to play somebody who's in love with someone, I might just say, oh, you know, it'd be easier if I had this experience.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think I've ever really wanted to be different.
Okay,
yeah.
So not sexual. Anything romantic related?
No.
That's fair. Tell us if this is correct, because you're the expert. But the number we were getting online that suggested roughly 2% of the global population is asexual. Is it possible that people are on the asexuality spectrum but just don't know it, or they're misdiagnosed?
Definitely. I do think there are asexuals out there who still have sexual feelings and they have a romantic attraction. They just lack in the sexual attraction and they may not fully realize it. If they're in love with somebody and they can still experience a libido, but there is still something missing, like they're not feeling that sexual attraction to the person, but they might not identify as asexual. They might not use that word, whether they know about it or not. So, yeah.
You said your parents can't really wrap their heads around it, or your family. Did they ever suggest seeing a therapist or getting your hormones checked? I'm wondering if you ever like walked through different avenues to please other people.
No, they've never really suggested that. And no, I never would go through any avenues just to please somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a therapist though, just to talk about your identity?
Not for asexuality, no.
Do you feel like you relate differently to your body because of your identity?
You mean compared to other people?
Yeah, I guess so. For me, sometimes I like to like put on fun underwear, or when I'm wearing a bikini at the beach, like it makes me feel sensual or like embracing my sexuality. So I'm just wondering if you have ever
experienced that? I like dressing up. I like to feel pretty or attractive. Yeah. I don't know if I wouldn't say sensual maybe, but yeah, I do like a lot of women. I do kind of a little bit obsess over like my figure and like, I don't like these flaws or like whatever.
But
and
it's
like
not,
be concerned
but it's
about
not
it.
Sexual. Like you're not,
yeah. It's not sexual. And also being an actress, it's kind of normal to feel that way. So maybe it's that for me. I don't know. But yeah.
It's so interesting how you can kind of differentiate, you know, obviously there's having a sexual experience with a partner or even with yourself, like masturbating. Mm-hmm. But then there's also this feeling of just feeling sensual or sexual in your skin, like in yourself, but it's not an act. So I'm wondering if you ever have those feelings.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it sexual, maybe. Maybe just attractive.
And if you don't mind opening up the conversation to people within the community that don't identify maybe as aromantic for a moment, something we were curious about was, when you take sex out of a relationship, how do you define infidelity? Has this something any you've heard about within the community in your activism? Has anyone ever talked about this or?
Well, I guess like, you know, for every relationship, you know, the couple will have to define their boundaries. But I guess like when you take sex out of it, it's kind of like that emotional cheating, which can happen in sexual relationships too. And, you know, having romantic intimacy with other people.
And you also mentioned earlier that there are people who identify as asexual that still masturbate. How do you define the distinction between like the act of relieving yourself physically and the act of sexual attraction or desire?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the best way to really describe it is just like a straight person, if they're around someone from the same sex, they won't experience that attraction to them, but they can still experience sexual feelings. So for an asexual, they just don't experience sexual attraction to anybody, but their body can still feel arousal. It's just not from another person. Mm. Yeah.
I feel like there's this common misconception that, you know, asexuality doesn't exist. And you were saying how people say you're just repressed and that it comes from some sort of trauma. I'm sure you've heard that.
I've heard that a lot. Yes.
I'm wondering if you could speak to that a little bit more, kind of put that to rest, I guess.
That is another misconception. I've never been traumatized, so I can say that for myself. And even if someone has been traumatized, it does not mean that
this is a reaction.
Yeah, it's correlated to their orientation. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the next steps for the ace community as far as visibility goes? Like, what would you like to see the non-asexual community do in recognizing y'all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really about destroying those myths about it and, you know, the mainstream sex community and this idea that everybody feels this way or, you know, everybody has these experiences that they may not. I think having that understanding that people's idea of sex does not apply to everybody, and it doesn't mean that their orientation is invalid, because it doesn't. So I think that's a huge step. I also think, yeah, having better representation in the media is also important. And the media is very, as we all know, especially today, the media has a huge influence on society. So, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for your younger self when you were first coming to terms with your orientation? Something maybe you wish someone had told you?
Maybe I would just warn myself about some of the reactions that I would get from it, because I think I was a little bit naive. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it would be questioned so much, actually. I didn't think people wouldn't accept it. So, because for me, it was just normal, especially in my town and my community, where it's like we were in the 21st century. We were very progressive with the LGBT community. So if you said I'm gay, it's most people would accept it, and not accepting it was like not the mainstream thing to do.
Where did you run into those, you know, people who were not accepting you, or what were the situations that you were running into?
I mean, nothing was ever hostile, luckily. Yeah, I think it's just with peers and people that I would talk to about it.
And you think it came from a place of not understanding?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's not visible in the media. A lot of people haven't heard of it or met people who also identify that way. So
early on in like a friendship do you tell people that you identify as asexual?
I think when it just comes up, like if they ask me about dating, or if they just ask me, are you like into boys or girls? Because, you know, when you're single for a while, they might ask that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if it comes up, then I just say it. If it doesn't, I don't always just come out and say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably leads to a larger conversation.
Yeah, because I never saw, you know, my asexuality as such a huge or an important part of who I am.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because I think, like, I always define people by, like, the personality and the choices you make. I think that says more about you, because being asexual is just whatever. You know, yeah. I just don't have attraction or, you know, I'm not in romantic relationships. But to me, I find other things more interesting to reveal, like, even the fact that I'm a vegetarian, I think to me that's more interesting. Because that's a choice I made. It's not.
See, that's really interesting, because I feel like we talk to certain people that are like, you know, my queer or my gay identity is like the most important thing in my life. So it's interesting to see, you know.
And I wonder if that's that because of that dichotomy of I present in a certain way that people perceive to be gay and queer. So I can't escape. I can't escape the label. And so when you live your whole life, you know, somebody identifying you as something, it becomes a part of your actual fabric of your identity. But I wonder then reversely that, you know, asexuality is, correct me if I'm wrong, the lack of, you know, showing a, you know, display of something, a display of sexual desire. So there's really no way, like you said, it's not external.
I mean, speaking for myself again, I don't know. I don't think I ever try to present myself as asexual. Mm-hmm. It's just what I am.
Yeah.
And I kind of, it's just like I see it as like my racial background. It's like, it's inherent. It's not really important. It's, yeah.
Are there any stereotypes of asexuality in regards to appearance that maybe we don't know about? Or
there are some stereotypes of that people don't care about how they look and how they dress. So they might not, you know, wear conventional fashion and things like that. Yeah, I think there is that misconception. So, yeah.
I wonder if there's a misconception about, like, if that would run along with, like, even, like, hygiene. Like, is that a misconception ever?
I think some people just think if someone's asexual, that means they're not attractive. They're not an attractive person, or they don't ever try to be an attractive person. Yeah.
Which is untrue.
Yeah.
What we're learning absolutely today. Yeah, do you have any advice for someone who's younger and is asexual and is kind of just figuring out their way?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, what they're experiencing is completely normal. It doesn't need to be changed, and there isn't anything wrong with you. And yeah, I mean, I do think it's not the most important thing about a person. I think, you know, especially if you're young, just focus on things that are important to you, like, you know, what you want to do in your future and like what's going on in school or, you know, whatever. Like there are so many other really fascinating, interesting aspects of a person that I think, and the things that you have control over, I think that makes someone more interesting than what their orientation is. Yeah.
I think that's really poignantly put.
Have you ever felt like you are missing out on any experiences? Like maybe when your friends tell you about certain sexual or maybe more romantic stuff. Have you ever felt a longing?
I never felt a longing. I mean, I think it's kind of like the parent analogy. It's like if someone's not a parent, but they have a friend who is, they may, if they didn't want a kid, they may not feel that lack, but they can be interested in other people's stories. So, yeah.
So ACE is a term for asexuality, or can you explore that a little bit?
Yeah, it's just like a shorter word for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had never heard that before. Jacob brought it up.
It's like saying bi instead of bisexual. You say ace instead. Ace.
And yeah. is that a more like appropriate term? Do some people not like to use the term asexual?
I think either are appropriate. It's just preference. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of alluded to this before, but I do think it's important that people do understand the difference between asexuality and celibacy. because celibacy is a choice of refraining from sex, where asexual is just an orientation. And some asexuals do choose to have sex, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like there are asexuals who, if they experience romantic attraction especially, they may be in a relationship with somebody who is sexual. And sometimes they find a way to make a compromise or, you know, find that common ground and find a way for it to be comfortable. Because some asexuals are not necessarily uncomfortable with sex. They just don't enjoy it the same way because they don't experience that attraction, but they don't mind having it with their partner to have some level of intimacy or to please their partner, or, you know. And that's definitely a decision between the two parties involved. So
that makes sense, because not every sexual act requires the same amount of effort.
So yeah, I guess that's one thing I would add.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
For more content on how sexuality dictates our lives, you can visit us at www.killerandasweetthing.com and follow us on Instagram at birds.bees. This episode was recorded at Canal Street Market. For more information on being asexual, including how to tell if you're an ace, visit asexuality.org. This is Pillow Talk.